City's own, blending gold with the silver. Steve taking notes, every word's a thriller. Rob's on the tracks, beats cold like a chiller. Bad Boys a podcast, raw truth they broadcast. Speaking facts so fast, haters coming dead last. Las Vegas legends, three amigos top class. Mic in hand, setting fire, never outclassed.
Hey everybody, Matt Michaels, Sin City Steve, Rob Ossolier here on the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. All right, so Steve, you give me some graphics with the shows, right? And sometimes I can tell when you didn't watch something because you missed probably the biggest show that they had this weekend in Saturday night's main event. And immediately I'm like, well, Steve didn't see that one.
Yeah, I saw footage of what happened. I did not watch the show in full, and I'll be the first one to admit that. Thanks for busting me out right in front of our listening and viewing audience. Definitely appreciate
that. So Steve, all you had to say was Danhausen cursed someone, and right,
and in Cody won.
Cody Rhodes and they came out in matching ring attire. Really nice.
And they acknowledged the OTC.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty much all you have to do to nail a WWE card.
Pretty much. And Bayley lost, of course.
Right. And Bayley lost.
Yeah.
Deservingly. But we'll get to that in a second. actually, the biggest news was the aftermath when Punk
stupid
hit Cody in the eye with the belt. Then backstage, Cody said it's embarrassing. Punk is like, put the camera down, get the camera out of there. Cody, you literally cracked me in the eye. That shit was great because that was not scripted. That was not scripted. If you watch it, Cody is literally fucking shocked. When he fucking hits him, Cody grabs his fucking eye, and he's standing there like, what the fuck, dude? Punk didn't even realize that he hit him, walks out, and then Cody just goes stack crazy, goes back there, starts yelling at him, says to him, you're the one who usually gets fucking emotional out there. It was literal infighting to the where they took that video down within hours of it actually getting posted. They were like, whoa, wait. It was,
we thought the same thing when they dragged Seth Rollins out half a year ago with a busted leg. This looks like it looks so raw and it looks so much like a shoot that it's probably not a shoot.
No, this
what came to my mind immediately when seeing this was the stuff with Kevin Owens and Cody. And it was one of those things that it was definitely built to be a viral moment. And of course, they're gonna take a clip down from their social media because people are gonna talk about that. And just the way that wrestling fans are, obviously WWE is a multi-billion dollar company. They didn't get there by being stupid or naive or anything like that. So they know what they're doing. I do have to laugh at you saying that it wasn't scripted, though, Matt. I mean, come on. You're always the one to give us shit when we say things being a work or anything like that. So, I mean, don't work yourself into a shoot, brother.
But let's also say that what words that I used, it wasn't scripted.
Well, yeah, but you could have a scenario by which they say, look, you're going to clock him with the belt, take it from there, all right? We're not going to tell you when it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I want your reaction to be natural. You have free reign to say whatever you want.
Think about this. With the weight of that belt, when you're throwing it over your shoulder, you're not – it's not like you're feeling it hit something, right? That was not planned. Cody legitimately got hit in the eye.
I'm not saying he didn't. I don't know. I mean, look.
No, wait. But here's the thing.
Come on, bro.
No, wait. Here's the thing, though. Think about it. From the time he gets hit in the ring,
this is his Zapruder film.
Time to go backstage and film that. That's when you come up with, dude, you hit me in the fucking eye. Did I? Oh, dude, I'm sorry. Cool. Let's fucking run with this. Or a producer goes, what happened out there? Got hit in the eye. Okay, cool.
The first thing that everyone said is this is what they're going to use to get angry, to get them fighting on the road to SummerSlam. Yeah, it's clickbait. And then taking it down adds to the...
Sure.
But the virality.
What are people saying? Yeah, I don't care. I could care less about this. I could care less about that, right? There's no build, right? All right. So now you go to FanFest, and now you actually have Cody using words that Cody doesn't fucking use. You know, we're seeing more of that heel side aspect of Cody, which everyone has kind of wanted to see a little bit more.
Long overdue.
Right. So it's little things like this. If that was an accident that they turned into something that could give Cody something to start being more of a dick, being more self.
So you're going to make him a Karen. The gimmick is that we make him a Karen because he got accidentally.
You didn't hear, did you watch the FanFest?
I know, but what did Punk say over and over again? I'm sorry if I did that. I'm sorry.
You watched the video. Did you watch the FanFest clip?
No, the FanFest one.
No, you got to watch that, and you'll see they're not making him a Karen. They're making him a fucking man now. It's not just, I'm the American Nightmare. What you want to talk about? Hey, I'm fucking Opie. You know, it's not the fucking Andy Griffin show.
Right.
But they're doing it with a guy that people associate as a dick himself, which is the perfect use of CM Punk. You're an asshole. Everyone knows it. Cody fucking call it, you know. Punk's trying to say, you know, hey, you're my brother, but Cody's like, enough of this brother bullshit. You know, it's like, this is fucking real now.
The last time I saw Cody play a Karen character, and I'm calling it that, I'm still going to call it that as of this juncture, until he does something tremendous on a show and not a one-off is when he was teamed up with Moose and Moose saved his wife, Brandy. And then Cody was like, bro, the fuck is going on? Why are you even touching her? And she was like, he was a friend and he was helping out. That was the last time. And that carried him through the to the Bullet Club. But Cody is a so-so heel. He needs to dig deep. He needs to dig deep. Getting smacked in the face with the belt could be the catalyst. But when we dial it back, I don't want to find out that a Karen moment made him a heel.
Cody's a great heel, by the way. He's a great heel. He just
got to get there.
He doesn't show that persona. I would highly recommend checking out some of the shit that he did in Ring of Honor and New Japan as a heel if you have not checked it out. He is a very, very good heel.
His best work in the WWE before he left was as a heel. He's a good heel.
Yeah.
But the problem is Daddy never wanted to be a heel. Daddy was always the American dream. And the times they tried Dusty as a heel, he was fucking awful after he became the American dream in the 70s. So, I mean, this is what we're seeing. We're seeing the legacy of Cody carrying the torch. And it's like, it's about time that they fucking go the other way. Now, the Fan Fest, Fanatic Fest, was great because now we got the setup finally of Gunther and Aldis, and this shit was just beautifully done, and we get this wonderful intense fucking match. All right, Rob, you've fucking been, I want to see Nick Aldis in the ring. I think more than you said Jade is hot on this show, so
that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot of that.
And, you know, and again, if anyone has bottles of her bath water, send them to P.O. Box 129, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89189, care of Rob Trump, you know. No, I wanted to see Nick Aldis wrestle because, for me, I know he's a wrestler. I know he was the NWA champion for almost 3 years. Yeah. I know he's got the ability to do it. And I'm, you know, remembering the days of him being in Magnus, of being Magnus and being in the Main Event Mafia in TNA. So when I see this shit with him jacked out of his mind, not like Adam Pearce. So yeah, Adam Pearce was a wrestler back when, but this guy was recently a wrestler. Recently. I want to see him fight. I would like to see a few matches leading up to this, but they won't. I doubt they will.
Why would you? It's an attraction.
God forbid I enjoy fucking WWE. Anytime there's something that could make it remotely enjoyable, you're like, why the fuck would you want to do that? That's not the WWE way. We have to milk this for everything it's worth. And then by the time you finally get it, you don't care anymore.
You want to see Nick Aldis wrestle fucking Dragon Lee?
No. What I would like to see is maybe do a tag where he's forced to team up with somebody, or have some sort of preliminary match leading up to this. I don't want, if I was a WWE mark and I had no idea who the fuck this guy was beyond being Nick Aldis, seeing him in a ring is going to look bizarre. I would want something,
except for the fact that they do video packages that are fucking extensive. If you just watch the Seth and Roman shit they've been doing for the last 3 weeks and just going, Jesus Christ, these guys have been around fucking forever, for fuck's sake.
Think about this too. The video packages that they're going to air leading up to this match, of course, they're going to use footage from their in-house shows, but they have a large library that they can pull from TNA.
I hope so.
Something that a lot of people don't think about is Nick Aldis is actually younger than all four of the SummerSlam main eventers. CM Punk is 47 years old. Roman Reigns is 41 years old. Cody Rhodes is 41 years old. Seth Rollins is 40 years old. Nick Aldis is 39 years old.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's pretty anachronistic if you assume that, you know, this guy, no one's going to know who he is or anything of that nature. But it's they have a lot that they can pull from.
They brought him in to SmackDown in a very unceremonious manner. He just showed up and he goes, "Hi, I'm Nick. I'm new here." And then they went, and Adam Pearce, "Welcome, brother. You're getting promoted to Raw." And I'm like, wait a minute. What was he doing the week before? You know? So they just kind of threw him in under the radar, kind of. And Adam was even worse because Adam, they didn't even announce who he was. He just showed up to do a break apart when a bunch of wrestlers were fighting over who should get, you know, first dibs on a belt. It was the IC belt several years ago. And he was on SmackDown. And he just showed up and they just phased him in. I don't know. I would love to see him, even if he doesn't fight, I would love to see him just show up with gear on and just go, "What, you don't think I know how to do this? You forget I've been wrestling. I was a TNA champ. I was NWA champ, Ring of Honor." I would love to have him walk out with ring gear and just start beating the shit out of Gunther. Something to tie into the fact that this guy did not just walk off the street and he's not just a big guy. That's all.
Okay. Well, apparently you already know who the fuck he is, so I don't know why you're fucking crying.
I know, but WWE, if they don't, if as you've all both have said many times, if they don't come from WWE, they're like, "This guy's a fucking newbie." Yep. They did that with
everybody.
Yeah, Kevin Owens. When Kevin Owens was facing John Cena for the US belt, John Cena's like, "Yeah, I know you're new, buddy." And Kevin Owens was like, "No, I'm not new to wrestling. I'm just new here."
If it doesn't happen in WWE, it doesn't count.
Right.
This is true. They know his wife. So. It's the reason he has a job anyway.
His wife. Right. Yeah.
And when she came out to Hardcore Country Theme, the last time she was in, my head exploded when Mickie James came out to her TNA theme and had the TNA women's belt in that fucking Royal Rumble. I was like, "Oh!"
Your mic peaked so much that it silenced you. That was great.
Yeah. 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 Let's not use the words explode and peak with him anymore, Steve. it's horrible. It's a disturbing thought.
Don't put on any pictures of, I forgot about this.
And Fatal Influence wins the tag team championships from Paige and Nikki or Brie Bella. Man, Fallon got knocked in the fucking, it was either the nose or the lip. She was bleeding during most of the match, too. But they came up in April, I think, right after, you know, WrestleMania and the releases and stuff. Here they are, tag champs. And JC, you know, seems to be in that picture for potentially being a world champ. So, you talk about NXT developing the people. This is what this is all, you know, leading
up
to.
How it should be, though.
Yeah. Yeah. And hey, and they got to do it in Madison Square Garden, too, which is pretty fucking bitching. So that's
to me, the fact that they were able to play over there at MSG is bigger than them winning the women's tag belts, because those tag belts for the women unfortunately don't mean all that much. They just don't get the right love.
Those fucking things are cursed, man. So we can only guess what's going to happen to Fatal Influence. Are they going to split up? Is one of them hopefully not going to get injured? What's going to happen?
Because and Ricky Bonney will be announcing them to the ring.
I'm guessing one of them is going to get pregnant, and I'm sorry in advance. So,
well played.
And then you had Lyra get fucking racked with an elbow accidentally, just clipping her nose, bleeding like a fucking pig. Bailey getting the shit knocked out of her, as she should, getting written off TV. Wonderful. And oh, poor Bailey. Oh, look at her. She's all stained in blood and ouchy. And
Matt, good? It's so funny. It's so funny how you get like this because she refuses to sign her contract.
No,
if she did sign her contract, you'd be clamoring for her to, you know, number of things on WWE TV.
No, I can tell you this. Bailey has not done anything of relevance since she did the Ding Dong shit.
Wow.
No, I disagree. When she came up,
when she with came
damage
up,
control,
wait.
With damage control, and then her story to come back out of damage control and have some grace again with the fans, that was great. That belt she won after getting kicked out of damage control was great. That was a great year for her.
Yeah, she was a manager for fucking a year. You know,
which goes to show genuinely what WWE has thought of her for quite some time, especially right after she carried that company nearly single-handedly on her back through the pandemic.
Yeah.
Just saying.
But she is not more valuable to them than Charlotte is and Becky mm-hmm. is of the Horsemen.
At times, I value her more than Charlotte because I feel that she's put over and trained more talent than Charlotte ever has.
But
Charlotte has until recently, Charlotte has had a core group of people that she's willing to drop a belt to. And it, you know, she's not putting over new talent. Now she is, after getting injured, she is. But before, she wouldn't bother with half these people.
They haven't viewed Bayley as being marketable for quite some time. Anybody who has listened to this show for any amount of time, we've drawn attention to the fact of her being in those main event type positions and not being on promotional material for major events, WrestleManias, right, things of that nature. And it's pretty startling, but you know it does show. I mean, there's a track record of all of this. This is something that it's not new. They've felt this way for quite some time about arguably the best horsewoman in ring of the four.
But at the same time, it's just like the men. You have a top where mm-hmm. there's only going to be so many spots. Bayley was never the top. She's not Charlotte. She's not Becky in terms of marketing, commerciability. She's not Rhea, right? At this point, she's not even Io.
But here's my thing. Io, yeah. Io right now to me is the top. Io's. Rhea is the top. Bianca Belair, minus getting pregnant, was the top for a while. As much as I like Jade Cargill on paper, she's not adding up. She is not the top. She has all of the abilities, but she does not have the mic skills. Charlotte Flair is a rusty gate to me. She has no mic skills. She never had any fucking mic skills. She's not her dad. She was never going to be. She's physically amazing in the ring, but the mic is half the battle, and she does not have that battle.
She is as valuable to that women's division as Roman Reigns is to the men's division.
Not now. Now she's a fucking valet.
Absolutely now.
Because of the commercial week in and week out. Lately.
It's the commercial ability. She is the established. Like I said, Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair are their established ones on top. Now you're adding on top of that, you got Alexa Bliss, right? And then you got Liv Morgan, who no one saw fucking becoming what she's become. So you're stacked at the top, right? If Sasha Banks was still in this company, she would be in the exact same position that Bayley's in. And by the way, Naomi's out, you know, having kids. She isn't back. Where does she stack in? She's in that same mid-range there where you flirt constantly with she could be more, but she's not, because she's not the one you're putting on the television shows and on the fucking radio and shit like that.
But it also speaks to something you say, because I feel like you're a little contradictory. You talk about JC Jane, and then you also talk about how there's no room for all of these people. And I don't see her ever.
And they're grooming her to be that next level. If she doesn't deliver, she won't be. And she will lose her job. Or being a tag team or something like that.
They were doing something with Bayley for a while, and they abandoned it with the split personality. They were running it, and then they pulled the rug out, And I was actually intrigued by that because I was wondering which direction she was going to go from one week to the next. And then they stopped it. And it was really abrupt and odd because it was intriguing. And Lyra was on the back of her, or on her coattails, where she needed to be for a while, because she was the one always taking the abuse from that Jekyll and Hyde thing that they were doing. And then they stopped. It was a really intriguing storyline. And they did it earlier on, so you can't say it was an injury thing. I'm very surprised they went that way, because Bailey has range as an actress, and she has range in ring. And when they're doing War Games, if you don't have Bailey in the ring, fuck. She is directing traffic left and right. Watch those things and watch the stuff that you're not paying attention. Look to the left and the right of every major spot. She is directing traffic to keep everyone safe and alive. She is their most valuable player, in my opinion. The other ones, yeah. And by the way, Charlotte's not on the cover of video games. Becky Lynch is. Who's in the commercials? Bianca Belair to this day. Not Charlotte Flair.
And Charlotte has... And again, Charlotte has been the face. Charlotte's been naked in the fucking ESPN magazine. You know, again, she is a face. You just don't like her, Rob. That's fine.
No, I don't think that's she's fine. As big a face as you're saying she is.
Rob, what it is I think that you're not actually recognizing her as being Charlotte Flair because of enhancements, if you will.
Are you talking about her space mountains?
Well, Woo!
You ever wonder if Ric Flair just rubbed one out one day and then they scrolled up and damn it.
I don't know. He might be like a certain someone in the White House who really didn't say damn it after rubbing one out to one of their offsprings.
That was money well spent.
I was talking about Obama.
Wow.
Oh, that was money well spent.
All right. And then everyone's, complaining about the OTC promo. And the Knicks, though, got representation. That place was on fire with Brunson and Carl Anthony Towns. Danhausen had a fucking weekend. That was spectacular. He had his own parade. The Fanatic Fest was huge for him.
I want that jersey.
Dom flipping off the
neon
for putting out a picture of Penta without a mask. Any final thoughts on this weekend?
Good on Dom.
You know, a lot of people online were talking about, Penta shouldn't be walking around in a green room area without a mask on. And okay, but it also at the entrance to the green room, it point blank says no photography. Neon, who is an IRL streamer, live streamed his entire backstage experience at Fanatics Fest, including going into that great room. Into the green room. And it was, definitely unsettling because, there are some things that you shouldn't be broadcasting to the world, quite frankly.
Especially that guy's face. Holy Jesus.
But they did see Neon trying to get into Fanatics Fest the next day. And, with his camera, and they said that he could not record or stream inside of the fest itself.
The problem is in many ways the damage is done, but when they tried to do this at the MGM Grand, nobody has respect anymore for anyone's fucking privacy.
Right.
And if you are any type of real fan of wrestling, you wouldn't do it. Years ago at AEW, when they did Stadium Stampede, and Urban Meyer is taking a picture of MJF and Jericho holding hands and smiling. Wow, this match is going so great. Both of our teams are kicking ass. I wanted to beat the shit out of that guy. Bully Ray wanted to beat the shit out of guy. You don't do it. You show some respect to the process.
Yeah. And then, you know, you also have accidents happen, like showing Shaq just get up and out of the
the fucking ambulance.
So, I mean, you know.
Yeah, true.
Everyone fucking overreacts to all this shit nowadays. The fact of the matter is social media has changed this. It isn't kayfabe anymore. Lucha tradition is great. Use it in the ring. But for God's sakes, even Bischoff, you know, everyone gets mad. Bischoff took the mask off of Mysterio because he thought he'd be more marketable without that mask on, right? Bischoff put fucking Slim Jim logos and other fucking logos on the ring. This guy fucking revolutionized all the shit they're giving crap for both companies doing now, fucking 30 years ago. So it's like everyone just wants to complain about something. And there we go. Raw. Raw, you know, we had Solo confront Seth and basically said, I'll help you out. And then we get fucking LA Knight. He's got a match with Fatu to end the show.
Look at him screaming.
I know. but LA Knight cut one hell of a promo before the match.
As if he can do that.
Well, here's the thing. The question is, what fucking direction are they going to go with all this? That's nowhere. The question. Because
do they know? Genuinely?
The honest answer is probably not yet.
Yeah.
Because I really could see either Solo and Royce turning on Knight and just, you know, now it's Knight versus the fucking Bloodline. He's got to fucking find soldiers. Or, you know, Royce Keyes turns on both Solo and LA Knight.
I have a question about this, and I never understood it, and I guess it was just kayfabe. Where are these roots for Royce Keyes and Jacob Fatu that they were claiming has been going on for years?
Don't you know who their mother is?
Right. It's just one of those things. I know they needed somewhere to start with Royce Keyes, and this is how they were able to kind of get the ball rolling for him or light the fuse.
They have a long friendship. They both worked on the indies and were very well acquainted with one another. So that's an instance of WWE using real life documented history as part of a storyline. And quite frankly, it works. It definitely works.
It is working. It is a great way for Royce Keyes to have some footing and get the ball rolling. And now you could just take it from here.
Yep.
With regards to, the absolute Kvorka, this is the same old thing. He was famous outside. He's got a lot of lingo, dialect, catchphrases, everything. And they backburner this fucker. Now, he's had some slip-ups in the ring. He stutters a bit when he speaks, but nothing to the level that I wouldn't want this guy to not have the strap at one point. I would give him the world heavyweight strap at least once and let him have it for a quarter, 3-4 months. I don't know what the hell they're waiting
for. Give it to him for 9 days. I think that should be the new like low bar.
Jesus Christ, you're treating him like a red-headed Palestinian stepchild.
Jeez.
Yes, which everyone knows that he is.
Yeah.
But the question is, and that's what it comes down to. He fucking shot on Roman as being someone who was fucking groomed in the business, and fans were fucking pushed over and over down their fucking throats, this guy. And now you guys fucking do this, you know, acknowledge me shit. It was, you know, straight up set up, you know, it set something up. Now, will they go through with it? I don't know. Will he have a job by the time they get to it? Who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah, but, you know, again, they're trying to make something work going into the setup for SummerSlam.
Next SummerSlam, Eli Drake will be announced by Ian Riccaboni. Oh.
Yeah. And then this
hands happens. All up in it.
Hello. I just want to know how her man's in NXT is taking it.
Yeah.
Right now. Good for him. Exactly. But this, again, this guy had a fucking weekend of his life.
Many weekends of his life.
Eohausen. And we're getting on Monday night the Joe Hendry and Danhausen concert, which that itself.
And by the way, Joe Hendry, what has he been doing? Except, you know, it's been quiet on his front for a few weeks now.
No, he's been involved in all this, you know, this middle type of stuff. There was a big thing this week about Joe Hendry and Jordan Grace and how they were champions in TNA. Jordan Grace, I don't know what the story is. They just don't have anything for her right now. Fine.
Is she no longer injured?
I don't know. Yeah.
Supposedly she's medically cleared.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So, but the thing with Joe Hendry is that in TNA, sure, Joe Hendry is a champion. Why not? In WWE, if you make Joe Hendry a fucking champion, you're insane. It's just, it doesn't make sense, because then everyone else is going, well, then why didn't they put the belt on so-and-so? He deserves it more than Joe Hendry. The guy, all he does is concerts. So it's a no-win situation for these guys who have a particular role when you fit them into what their television is. Danhausen fucking has knocked it out of the park, because he knows what his character has been and has developed that, and they did not get in the way of it. Cool. Great. Do this. Hendry, they're doing the same thing. Yeah. This is what your character is. Do it.
That graphic that you threw up is probably the most WWE type of a segment that we could ever ask for. Traditionally, you know, you have a musical act, you have a comedy act that is currently going viral and generating a lot of buzz. So, and obviously we all forget Joe Hendry has generated a lot of buzz in years previous. So obviously they're doing this, and it, on the surface, you look at it and it's like, okay, whatever, but it all clicks. It all makes sense, because at the end of the day, it is sports entertainment.
I don't disagree with that, but I want more for Joe Hendry in the near future.
Oh, absolutely.
Danhausen, fine. Joe Hendry, I would have liked for him to have a guy, to be a guy with maybe a custom U.S. belt or doing something crazy. I would have liked for him to be at SmackDown and thrown right into the mid-card belt scene. That would have made more sense to me instead of the grittier Raw, but that was my take on it.
But also, again, think about this. Joe Hendry is a guy who isn't huge, isn't a massive guy. He finishes the match with a choke slam.
Yep. I was about to say.
So
I struggled choke slam.
Yeah. So, you know, again, it's like, again, the perceptions sometimes get a little out of whack, and people try to turn things this way or that way. And again, you put Joe Hendry in AEW. Oh. It's not going to click, right?
No. It would not work.
He's too syrupy for AEW.
Right. So it's like, yeah, he's not going to be a WWE champ. And yeah, he will at some point get a U.S. title belt.
He'll definitely be a secondary champion for sure.
Those two motherfuckers might get the tag belts sometime.
Why not? And
dude,
you know,
realistically, if you look at it, those belts, what's even realistically going on with those belts?
Nothing.
Not a whole lot. Why not put those two together?
You've got that fucking vision, which, by the way,
that fucking vision.
I'm sorry. This is just, this is basically the fucking Judgment Day all over again to me. It's just another fucking team of assholes.
Yeah, but it can go somewhere. We still don't know because they're figuring that out. Maxine was a fucking brilliant way to kind of change that thing up a little bit. And the way she's changed her character, you know. What was that, Rob?
She's a good heel. Who does Paul Heyman tend to after Minneapolis?
I'll be real, dude.
We'll see.
I would absolutely love to see Paul Heyman work with somebody like a Royce Keyes.
Here's why: he
fits the Paul Heyman the stereotype of the big bruising badass that isn't great on the mic that could definitely be leveled up if you put him with Heyman.
Steve, who's someone right in front of your face that might take that place at SummerSlam right after the match?
Oba Fenn. Do you think that they put him with Oba? I mean, realistically,
you know, because of what you just what you said.
So, my thing is, Oba can work the mic though. I trust Oba on the mic a lot more.
He has
much more aura, and he can convey his points, get things across than Royce Keats.
So could CM Punk. What does Paul Heyman do better than anyone in this fucking business?
Get people
attach himself to the next fucking big thing.
He gets people over. He absolutely gets people over. But the thing is, again, Oba doesn't necessarily need Heyman because he's doing everything on his own.
He's got a good enough mic skills, and the walk that he does to the ring is iconic.
It's a meme in itself, bro.
Yeah, and it's so iconic. Unfortunately, Oba Femi isn't doing the walk as seriously as he did the first time. He's almost doing like a little sloppy rush version of it these days. Like you notice, like he's just like, all right, it's just, I'm, all right. He's got to milk it.
Clip that and make that into a GIF. Rob doing the Oba strut.
Oh boy.
That's a strut I do when I walk into the bedroom with Jade Cargill naked on the bed. I'm just going to go.
Oh, so you've never done that then? Okay.
Well, I've never done the dance for her.
Ah, okay.
Right. We didn't. That was what was missing, you know, to bring it to that next level.
That was it. Oh, speaking of what was missing. All right, so the only thing that happened on Dynamite, according to the internet, was the Young Bucks wearing shirts that obviously show that the New Day are coming.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But
rocking the New Day Bootios colorway. Yeah.
Please get them on the conglomeration as soon as possible.
Oh, that'll happen.
Right. What else?
That'll happen.
Steve, give us some ideas on both. Dynamite and Collision.
All right, man. So obviously the thing that's going to be the biggest takeaway is going to be the, you know, you had mentioned the Dynamite segment with, you know, with the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega, them presenting him with the standard AEW championship, getting rid of the Triple B. Now, obviously, the thing to keep in mind is as we had the match graphic up here, you know, we had not a whole lot announced for this episode of Dynamite, at least before the show went live. It was a polarizing episode, we'll just say, because there were some people that thought it was a great ep. And quite frankly, it did one of the better ratings in over 2 years. AEW actually drew more eyes on last week's Dynamite than they have in 2 years' time. So it looks like as if they're, you know, rounding the corner, thankfully. But for instance, on this graphic, they didn't even have listed the Adam Copeland and Christian Cage versus the Death Riders match. You know why? Because that match was announced 45 minutes before the show went on the air. Yes, a World Tag Team Championship match was announced 45 minutes before the damn show.
It was one hell of a match.
The thing is, it was a good match, but
did everybody
you're not
have
building
fun?
Anything. You're not promoting anything. And I think this is the biggest, you know, consistently the biggest issue that I have with AEW is, you know, sometimes we'll get, and this is a perfect illustration of it. The match graphic that we're using this week is not the same match graphic that we are using for Collision. If you'll notice, there is just three things announced. They didn't put out the actual card gimmick that they did for Collision, which is their B show. Incidentally, it was taped, obviously, but it's startling to me that they don't want to set things up. You know, they're coming off of a pay-per-view. You know that you're going to have eyes on that product. So why don't you load up that episode and make it destination watching? Now, granted, this upcoming week, they have announced a few segments, but still, like, come on. This is not fucking new. They've been doing this shit for 7 years. And the more it happens, the more I'm seemingly saying it from week to week. It's getting very frustrating.
What I don't understand is they knew how to do it the right
yes.
way. They knew how yes. to present their product the right way. And then they stopped.
Well, if you remember, they had Excalibur being the, and here's a dated reference, the Micro Machines guy at the end of the show reciting four cards worth of matches.
And he would talk about, oh my God, you could barely get that one through there.
Yeah.
And it's fine.
It's
that
just,
was okay.
it's,
we complained about it then.
Annoying. More than anything. But yeah, the one thing that I do have to mention on this, again, on the match graphic, it doesn't even list arguably the match of the night, which was Kyle Fletcher versus Commander, which again was a match that they did not build up. They did not do anything with. Both guys absolutely killed it in the ring. Commander does some fantastic high flying stuff. Kyle Fletcher is doing phenomenal work, and his star power is just climbing from week to week to week.
He's better.
Obviously,
than us.
They're continuing to build things. We're pushing toward All in London. But yeah, in terms of what all got accomplished on this show, essentially teasing for the New Day over on Collision. You know, you had your main event as the TBS title match. Hikaru Shida and Queen Aminata, they haven't done anything to establish Aminata as being a credible challenger for Hikaru Shida or realistically for any championship at this point. Kevin Knight versus AR Fox in a TNT title match. AR Fox, while he is fantastic in the ring, dude hasn't won a match on TV in like 5 years. He's won in Ring of Honor. He's, you know, former Ring of Honor World TV champion. But on main roster AEW, the guy never wins. So thus, why should he be getting these title opportunities?
He's a jobber. He's always been a jobber. He's a trainer. He's great in the ring. Oh, this is the guy who trained the Dante brothers in Top Flight. And that's why they're as good as they are. Great. You come in, you
know. You know what's you know what's really fascinating about that? Is that I've seen people talk about that these last few days of how great that match was. Oh my God, it was so good.
It was a good match, but no one cared about it because the ending is telegraphed. You know exactly who's going to win before everybody gets to the ring.
That's one of the things that you can say all you want that Tony is this genius booker. That's great. But this is the problem. And it's not just a Tony problem. It's a WWE problem. It's a problem.
Both companies are struggling creatively right now.
TNA does the same thing. It's a wrestling problem and has been. I'll give you a little secret. Since the 1920s, it's just how wrestling fucking works.
Yeah,
it really has been this. And
it's the IWC, though, brings it because now you see all the complaints directly in your face instead of me and you and Steve talking amongst ourselves at the coffee, you know, having a cup of coffee at work. Now it's everyone on social media bitching in real time.
Yeah.
And back in the 1920s, you used to put a penny in and then crank the thing to see all the comments.
You're going to see what happened? Oh, my God. Stop. This was awful. Stop. Worst decision ever. Stop. Only three spots. Stop. Please just stop.
Three months
later. Wow. That was such a match in April. It's January.
Now, incidentally, I do want to mention on Collision, they did have a very, very solid match that kicked off the show between Jack Perry and Nick Wayne. Strong opener. Nick Wayne is so good in the ring. I know that he's a polarizing figure, but Jack Perry has been doing some great things in the ring for quite some time. Yeah, Perry ends up getting the win, and obviously Nick Wayne hasn't been getting a whole lot of wins on TV. So again, this match result was basically, you knew exactly what was going to happen from the jump. Also the Tommaso Ciampa and Myron Reed match on this show was fucking awesome. Ciampa coming out to a hero's welcome in his hometown of Boston. Getting a great ovation. Myron Reed, I think, is a bit of an unsung guy in the Rascals because he's looked at as just being the third guy, just the fill-in guy.
The fourth guy.
But he does some fantastic things in that ring. Both of these guys went out there and they absolutely killed it. Ciampa picks up the win in his hometown. You'll love to see it.
All right. All right, apparently we have the president of FIFA on the phone.
What the fuck is this? The bald guy again. Why don't you read my name correctly? Earn your keep, and maybe we'll let that collision claim go through all the way.
The very honorable, uncursable Donald J. Trump.
That's right.
Ed Vegas Trump guy.
Welcome to the show,
Mr. President. Thank you. The J stands for genius, the most stable genius. And no one ever talks about that. These booking decisions made by All Natural Elite Wrestling and World Wrestling and Entertainment, not gone unnoticed. We have the geriatric fighting styles of Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins, who will be having this same match at WrestleMania 72 because WWE will not have any other champions that they can put out. Because God forbid anyone entertaining comes up, Matt Michaels will like it and he'll complain online. And then we won't have any good champions. God forbid Joe Hendry sings a Scottish medley about how he is so amazing, so prestigious. I'm prestigious. A lot of people say that I'm prestigious. And when people see me, they wave their hands from side to side because they believe in Joe Trump. Joe Trump! They believe in me and, all of America. By the way, with numbers, quite honestly, no one's ever seen numbers like this before, Steve. No one's ever seen such high approval ratings. And quite honestly, every single sector where you could have a rating system, wherever there are systems like ratings, they're the highest ratings. Like if they were to put me on AEW, You know, they call me the ratings wizard. They call me the demo god. Isn't that something? No one's ever thought of that before. The demo god. They call me. That's what they would call me. I've never heard that before, by the way. That's complete. I came up with that. Don't you believe that I came up with that? The demo god. And now they're going to have this Jericho guy dress up like the Crow, because that's never been done before. And he's going to put face paint on. It's so embarrassing that these people put on face makeup. These guys come out on TV every day with tons of makeup on. It's very embarrassing. I would never be caught dead doing that. And they're wrestling, and some of them are good. Some of them are good. But a lot of them are looking like Charlotte Flair. You see these videos Charlotte Flair puts online? She looks like a cancer patient. Okay? No wonder Andrade dumped her. Okay? They call him El Idolo, not Hand Me Down Alo, because she's been passed around more than a girlfriend at the Flair house. Believe it. Believe it. Believe it. I don't know, you know, what she's had more of, belts or husbands. Okay? And then you've got the little one. Who's that little one that she rolls with? What's her name?
Alexa Bliss.
Alexa Little Bliss, whose arm bends backwards every other year when they need to have something broken. And she'll probably be on the top of Ghost Bar with her Puerto Rican boyfriend, who's a DJ. And then you have...
What?
Yes, you see, he knows nothing. You're supposed to be, you know, fake news Michaels, Matt Fake News Michaels doesn't know about Alexa Bliss's Puerto Rican DJ boyfriend who plays at the Ghost Bar and not as good as Tiesto.
Alexa Bliss, I hope her husband, who is a lead singer in a band, and they got married here in Vegas a couple years ago.
Excuse me. Michaels, he's a DJ, and he performed at the Ghost Bar. He played the DJ music, and then I proceeded to do the wedding. I was there at the wedding, and we christened the bride, and then I let them get married.
Okay. All right. Well, then.
You need to do your homework. Look it up. He's a DJ. He's an okay DJ, not the greatest DJ. And he's a lead singer at a band that performs at bar mitzvahs, okay? He did Stephen Miller's Bris, his son's boy. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, he's not Donald Trump, but he's doing great work. And the deportation numbers are coming in, and he has deported enough Mexicans to fill up the state of Rhode Island. But we're going to be working up to deport as much people as we can fill up the state of Maine, okay? It is a goal. We're going to get there. And we broke their spirits, and now we're going to send them to the final frontier, which is Nicaragua. Get him out of here. Get him out of here. That's the cops coming to take you away. Excuse me. I'm a lead singer. Ice Ice Baby. Stop, collaborate, and listen. Trump's deporting Michaels with a brand new vision. Something grabs a hold of you tightly. Men in ski masks day and nightly. Okay? You wonder how you... Oh, my car. Excuse me.
All right, Sin City, let's get an over-under for this week.
All right, man. So this week, it's I made allusion to it earlier when we talked about Dynamite recap, how there was nothing announced. And this week on Dynamite, they have already five different things announced, including four matches and one talking face-to-face segment. So... your main event this week is Kenny Omega, Will Ospreay, and Jon Moxley taking on Hechicero, Brian Cage, and Jake Doyle in a trios match. Yeah, so that should be... What's that?
Hold me back.
Yeah, I know, right? So as we saw on Collision, Will Ospreay is kind of digging into this this Death Rider's persona. He wrestled a longtime friend, as they got it across in the commentary, Adam Brooks. And long story short, Ospreay, it was back and forth because, of course, it was. You can't let Ospreay, you know, just squash somebody in a minute and a half. It's got to be a 10-minute banger. But that's beside the point. He was going for the hidden blade. Brooks spat at him, and Ospreay just teed off with an elbow shot to Adam Brooks's face, and then actually won the match via ref stoppage after he continued to drop elbows and forearms onto the back of Adam Brooks's neck. So they are getting across Will Ospreay finding that mean streak. I would not be surprised if we don't see some sort of chicanery that happens after this match. I think it would be a little bit on the nose if we had Omega tossing the belt over his shoulder and it happens to hit Ospreay in the face. I don't know. Stranger things have happened. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that team
did end up imploding. Steve, if you fall for that.
I know, dude. That is unscripted.
Hey, bruv, my bird's going to come over there and kick your ass, bruv.
But so obviously, all of that to say, Dynamite this week. Of course, they have the two-hour time block. But as we well know, Tony Khan loves himself some overruns. So I would not be surprised, and we're setting the over-under this week at over 15 minutes in an overrun. So yes, instead of a two-hour episode of Dynamite, you're going to get at minimum a two-hour, 15-minute episode of Dynamite, because why not? It's probably the safest bet in the book. And by the way, I said last week that they would add a total of 7 matches for Redemption, and wouldn't you know it, they damn sure added 7 matches between Dynamite and Collision this week. Yeah. 5 more to go. We all know Tony Khan loves those 13-match pay-per-views.
There you go. And I'm sure that there will be – all he has to do is to eat some lettuce, and he'll be exploding. All right, let's take a social media dump. Speaking of AEW and AAA. So everyone's all upset now. Here's the thing. Listen. It's not – if AAA was charging $40-$50 for the pay-per-view, sure, it's competition. You're not really asking much in terms of most fans who have – you know, who are going to go to All Out already got tickets, right?
Yes, we did.
Yeah. So the fact of the matter is that this idea that it's direct competition, and I wish AEW would do the same, right? Run a fucking pay-per-view against SummerSlam or something like that. Why not? Right? Because all the talk is oh, they're scared. Oh, they're running direct competition. But it's a YouTube show. That's it. So, you know, and also it's another option, you know, for something else if you want to go watch that instead of All Out if you're in Chicago. Why not, you know? It's a choice, but it's just like, you know, look at now that this is all just competition, which it's Triple H. It's Triple A. So.
Yeah, man. The thing that I'll say is obviously the start times are something to keep in mind. So yes, they're going to be head to head for part of the show. So essentially the way that everything's going to work, the Worlds Collide event is taking place at the Allstate Arena in Rosemont, where it has a start time per the venue of 7:30 PM Central Time. About 25 minutes away, in Hoffman Estates, AEW's All Out pay-per-view is going to be at the Now Arena. And that start time, according to the venue, is 6 PM Central Time. Yeah. So they will be head to head, but not for the entire show. Incidentally, I did get my tickets this week for All Out. Looking forward to it. I love the Now Arena. It's a super intimate venue and you can't go wrong with any of the seats in the house. So awesome.
And, Juggalo got some big news. JCW just announced they'll be doing two tapings at the Diamondback Music Hall in Belleville, Michigan. JCW, again, one of the more entertaining products out there as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we do cover Juggalo Championship Wrestling every week on the Sin City Indie Report. So definitely check that out. We drop episodes on Fridays. So look for that and whoop, whoop.
Yep. For anyone who's complaining about ticket prices, 50% off tickets for the Wembley show, right? For All In. So that's what you're getting from AEW to get people in. WWE, we're doing, I think, $25 tickets.
$25 tickets, yeah.
Yeah. I do laugh at the fact that there's still this idea that, well, SummerSlam's only got, 25,000 tickets sold. And, you know, you have to point out that, well, it's actually 56,000 because it's two nights. And if you took it and made it one night, you're probably looking at about 40,000, right? So, you know, this era of just both, you know, fans going at each other over the tickets, it's ridiculous.
Because
the economy sucks. So, you know, and
I disagree.
Wonder what that was. All right. Speaking of sucking, Paige said I did have a great time here. great time there, but in my heart, my heart wasn't in it when she was talking to Nikki and Brie on their show about her AEW run.
Nikki and Brie have a show?
Yeah.
Yes, they do. They have for quite some time.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. But that's cool, Rob. You don't have to, you know, watch things. It's not like we
Thank
do
God. A
podcast or anything.
Thank God.
But I mean, truth of the matter is, look at it. That is pretty reflective, right? If you looked at what she brought, she just did not look like she was happy. And
not at all. She we'll looked see. Like she was there for the paycheck.
Yeah.
She had that title run. It was uneventful. They put her up at Harley Cameron for whatever the reason, and they were doing some pseudo lesbian thing. And then that was about it. And oh, and she was on the Outcasts and
she was the catalyst for the Timeless Toni Storm gimmick though.
Yeah.
Just saying. So without Saraya in AEW, we would not have Timeless Toni Storm. So, you know, we can say whatever we will about her heart not being in it, about her just cashing a paycheck, but she did accomplish a few noteworthy things during her time there. And, you know, by all accounts, she enjoyed her time there and loved making that Tony Khan money for sure.
What is she doing now without the tag belts? Is she just a nostalgia act or are they going to run her?
I don't know, Rob. They just lost the tag belts on Saturday.
I'm just saying. Over under the shit.
That segment's already.
I mean, she signed a contract, so she's going to be sticking around. But, you know, with how ironclad those contracts are from TKO, I mean, you know, she might be a budget decision soon. You never know. Yeah.
Well, which tag champs will be she over or under in the following weeks without the New Day there?
All of the above. Or under, if you will.
Anyway, Sammy Guevara took down the AEW off his Twitter feed. Looks like he's coming up. In that case, is it not agreed that Sammy and Dom together could be one of the greatest tag teams ever?
They absolutely could. Now, obviously, keep this in mind. Sammy's wife, Ty Mello, number one, is a former NXT talent. She did also ask for her release last year. And obviously, contract things didn't go anywhere during that time. So, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all if they were brought in kind of as a, you know, as an act together, which would be, quite frankly, pretty smart for WWE to do, especially with the emergence of AAA. The fact is, Sammy has been doing a lot of stuff in CMLL, so he could easily go to AAA and do his thing in Mexico.
And wouldn't it be fabulous? I mean, if you put Dom versus Sammy and you had Ty and Liv, you know.
That's another wrinkle to that, too.
Or
I like this fantasy booking.
Yeah, well.
Fantasy booking's great, bro.
Yeah. At this point, all Sammy's getting is fantasy booking from Tony. So, unfortunately.
Unless you count Ring of Honor, which.
Or. You know, Here's an idea. You give him blue contact lenses, dye his hair blonde, and put him in a luchador mask, and then have him speak Spanish in a German accent. He will go over in Mexico.
He does not speak Spanish.
I know.
Even though he was referred to as the Spanish god, he does not speak Spanish.
Well, right. Then Rob, you put blue contacts in his eyes. You have him dye his hair blonde. You have him speak German.
Next thing you're going to say is that he comes out in brown ring gear, right?
Right. Of course. Or black with an armband.
Oh, God.
And it's S and G is through the S. So it's kind of S and G.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Okay. So speaking of Nazis, this guy.
Oh, it's Pepe Le Pew.
Yeah. Oh my God. So Vince facelift McMahon. Holy God, that facelift is so fucking bad.
That's the facelift. It still needs to be lifted.
Yeah. He's wearing a Vince McMahon mask to court. Looks like a Michael Myers fucking mask. It's so awful.
Does it have just a little button in there with like automatic Vince saying, "You're fired"? Genetic jackhammer. Never met her.
I just love how these people just go absolutely nuts about what is being said about WWE potentially bringing back Vince McMahon after the Janelle Grant lawsuit was settled. Why is there an obsession with bringing Vince McMahon back? And if you bring him back, everyone who's going, "Oh yeah, let's bring him back. It was so good when he was there," are going to go, "The product sucks. This is awful. Yep. This guy's too old." What the fuck is wrong with our
people? Tend to forget just how bad 2019 WWE was. People tend to forget that shit, and he was the one responsible for that shit.
Yeah.
The Janelle Grant case is heading to arbitration, so. Quite frankly, what should have been done from the beginning. It's Vince McMahon. It would be an absolute PR nightmare if they brought Vince back. But keep in mind who oversees TKO, Ari Emanuel. Ari is best fucking friends with Vince McMahon. He's always going to be looking out for his buddy.
I think it comes down to, if anything, that opens the door, give him the Hall of Fame ceremony, and that's it. That's your send off. You know.
See.
And then he Ultimate Warriors it the next night, makes a speech in the Raw ring, and then dies the next morning. So, you know, Triple H calls Liv Morgan a ring general, and she's on trajectory of being one of the biggest female stars. Agree or disagree, guys?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I think she's on a trajectory, but I would not call her a ring general. I would not give that title to Liv Morgan. Yes, she is on one hell of a trajectory. I think she has an amazing future in the business and in regular entertainment too. Because she's super attractive. Obviously she has, it's the whole, performance image exposure thing. So her performance in the ring is great. The image, she's building that not just in professional wrestling, but in entertainment fields, and the exposure, obviously, she is making a name for herself. So all of those things go into a successful brand. So yeah, WWE have a star on their hands. It just depends on what the follow-up is going to be.
Yeah. Obviously, Steve, when you think of ring generals, you think of people like Lyra or Valkyria. So obviously.
Right.
I found this just unreal. Carlos Gill, 83. I might be done watching WWE. I grew up a lifelong fan, but this Danhausen stuff isn't for me. I don't care how funny or satirical people say it is. I'm tired of entertainment normalizing demonic imagery and acting like it's no big deal. If WWE wants to push characters like that, they can. I can also choose to stop watching. Am I the only one who feels this way?
Yes, no. You stupid fuck. But he just ran through the NBA and entertained the entire country. Get the fuck out of America, Carlos Gill 83, you piece of fucking un-American shit.
But can we just go to the first thing he says after I'm done watching WWE is, I grew up a lifelong fan. Now, Gangrel. This guy in the picture.
Yep, the Undertaker crucifying Stephanie McMahon.
Yeah, I mean, the Undertaker, the fucking Kane, the fucking, Viscera and all the fucking, guys in that.
Vince McMahon wrestling against God.
Yes.
Vince McMahon was going to do a thing where he was going to drug and date his own daughter, for fuck's sake. They almost.
Well, that's not satanic. Hold on. That's not satanic. I mean, why do we have to go there, Rob? That's not satanic.
Hey, here's the thing. This character is basically Freakazoid from the 90s.
Yeah, of course. But PC.
He doesn't make a comment about Stephanie Vaquer, who wears literal devil horns to the ring as well.
No, I mean this obviously was a clickbait to get interactions, and it makes no sense. But when you say you're a lifelong fan, and then it's like, you never watched, did you? Because if that bothered you, you would have never watched. Because that's so much of wrestling has always been. And then if you flipped over to any of the other stations and you got, the Sinister Minister and, other characters in wrestling, come on. Yeah. Just fucking get out of here. Steve Austin says, I'm for same-sex marriage. I don't give a shit. I believe that any human being in America or any human being in the goddamn world that wants to be married, and if it's same-sex, more power to them. Which Carlos Gill, 83, responded, I am done with Stone Cold Steve Austin, my childhood hero. All right. Wrestle Wars, the Bullet Club Legacy, Good Brothers to wrestle against Avery Styles and CJ Gallows, sons of AJ Styles and Luke Gallows.
Yeah.
Do we really need another Gallows in the
Avery and CJ they're actually leaning fully into their heritage, which is actually pretty cool. They've christened themselves the Sons of the Bullet Club. So that's,
Wait a minute. Can we just call them the Sons of Guns? Come on.
That actually works. It does work.
That'd be great. I think that's exciting. And, and to see AJ working with his son too is pretty fucking cool.
That's awesome.
Cody Bellinger and Roman Reigns at Yankee Stadium this past weekend. Lita throwing out a pitch at I believe it's the AA Phillies team game. Look at that. With makeup, without makeup. Fucking amazing.
Oh, shit.
Actually, yep. Old WCW wrestling card with Sting versus Ravishing Rick Rude as the main event for the U.S. title. This goes back to 1992, January 25th, 92. Dustin Rhodes, Barry Windham versus Steve Austin and Beautiful Bobby. El Gigante versus Big Van Vader. The Steiner Brothers versus Cactus Jack and his notable tag team partner, Mr. Hughes.
That is one hell of a pairing.
Right. That one got me. I'm like, I didn't even know those two ever fucking tagged. That's pretty awesome. Ron Simmons versus the Diamond Stud, of course, Razor Ramon. PN News and Big Josh, man, against the Young Pistols. And Johnny B. Badd versus Richard Morton. So
we were in the middle of the Alexandra York storyline there then. Okay.
Yeah, it looks like it. So, you know, but if you can't get enough, Meet the Hulkster and Macho Man Savage at the grand opening of Pasta Challenge. Pasta Mania. This was, I believe, Hogan's pasta restaurant that was inside the Mall of America.
Oh, my God.
Inside the Mall of America.
In Minnesota.
Pasta Mania.
Yeah, Pasta Mania.
With a horrible beer, I'm sure.
Speaking of Hogan, this was the most brilliant example of AI crap.
What the fuck? He didn't look like that in 83.
No, of course not, dude. And in 87,
91,
they used something from the fucking early 2000s in 87.
Yeah, he's got the neck jowls. He's short.
It's so stubbier.
He looks older in 91, by the way, than he does in 87.
Yeah.
Yeah, so of course the Iron Sheik had to respond.
What the Hulk Hogan? He's fucking jabroni.
A little garbage fail kids for y'all. Potty. What is that? Potty Mouth Punk. Mm-hmm. And of course, John Cena. And of course, my favorite, Mr. Snow. So did you guys see the accidentally leaked Big Cass's return? They've rebranded him when he comes back.
Oh, God. And you can't teach that.
Dude, I still can't believe that this is not AI or Photoshopped, man.
Right.
Yeah. Camera work for the win.
Camera work 101. Yes. And of course, you know, sometimes we just got to remind kids, remember, love your fathers. And I love you, Dad.
Oh,
like and share if you love your dad.
Jesus Christ, dude. No, man. That's not funny.
And a shout out to our friends, Dave Meltzer, Tony Khan, and Paul.
I like your baby arm there.
Yeah, well, you know what? I was rolling the dice, so, you know, I don't know what Steve was doing.
Dude, I was slamming my fist down. That's exactly what I was doing.
I'm the only – well, all right, so we're looking at the camera. You're looking at something else. Triple H looks like he's about to slip it in, Matt.
Yeah.
Tony looks like he's about to try to slip it in me. Oh, no, Dave Meltzer does. Dave Meltzer looks like he's mounting me.
He's announcing his star rating for Matt's dice throw.
All I know is he's about to, he looks like he's about to go inside and go, I held back. And then I go, oh, dude.
They held back on a lot of what they could do.
Tony's so happy for us, man.
I am.
Ever the optimist, Tony Khan himself.
Is everyone happy and good time tonight?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right.
All right. Rob, tell us what's going on
tonight. Very important. We're going to be at 1115 Casino Center Drive. There is construction going on off of Main Street and Charleston, but there's a spot that I want people to support. It's called Ola Abibi. They're going through some legal troubles with their landlord, who's trying to kick them out and parking lot the whole area. Really fucked up. That's a great, great bar in the area. It needs our support. They're paying their rent on time, but they're getting the shaft. There's a show over there tonight, the Spotlight. I am going to be rushing out of here in a minute to get over there and show my support. Big shout out to, respectfully, Mr. Lex Las Vegas for putting on a great show there every Tuesday night at 10. We need to start coming out to local spots.
Yeah,
because the city of Las Vegas is swallowing them up and turning them into fucking parking lots. And I'm not being facetious.
Yep.
Go drive down Maryland Parkway, Charleston, anywhere you live. There are orange cones going up and businesses shutting their doors for good that were successful. They did this with Champagne's. They did this with a lot of places. And they replaced them with usually a bar with a different name that's usually run by a corporate entity called PT's or something else. And then they'll tack a really generic name on there and make it look like it's something unique when it's not. It's part of a chain. This has to stop. I am very big on local business and keeping them open. So that's number one. Tomorrow you can find me at Wise Guys. I'll be doing a set there at Wise Guys. And soon I will also be in a Wise Guy, LA Comedy Club roast battle. It looks like Chris Waldeck, who is a golden ticket winner on Kill Tony. I'll be roasting him soon. Stay tuned for the dates on that.
Okay.
Oh, and cameo.com/BOCE comedy.
Great. All right, Steve.
All right. I want to say thank you to everybody for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. Also, very special thank you to all the brave men and women serving this country. Whether you're doing it on lands foreign or domestic, thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. And last but not least, repsports.com, REPPsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, general energy needs. Repsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout. Save yourself 10%.
Did any of you have a great time tonight?
Yeah. With that, everybody, thank you for hanging out. We will we'll do it all again next week. Till then, happy wrestling.
Rolling up the strip under neon lights. Podcast mic is glowing in the desert night. Matt and Michael's leading with the swagger tights. Sin City Steve right by your side. All right. Rob Butcher, Larry, dropping truths, no fear. Broadcasting stories, make it loud and clear. From the Fremont edges to the Bellagio sphere. These bad boys rule, let me make that clear. Vegas bad boys, tearing up the scene.
To Matt Michaels and the Vegas Boys of Podcasting, this is John Cena saying thank you so much.